Let me open up by saying a couple of things. On a personal note, before I begin, there are definitely a lot of people in this room that I feel very close to. There are people in this room that I spent time with during the year, some that I really just know through the summer, and it is really is a very impressive group that sits before me, and that is something which I take very, very seriously. The last time I had the opportunity to speak with my wife somewhere was in Fairlawn, like 5 years ago. We were like a scholar in residence type thing. So it's always a wonderful opportunity to speak with her. The way we're going to do things is as follows. I'm going to speak really not for that long. I'll speak for probably about 7 or 8 minutes maybe, and then my wife will take over, who has much more, I guess, to share about the nitty-gritty of things in terms of how to best relate to the topic. The topic we're going to speak about is giving chabura to people on different levels. I would maintain a couple of things just to get the ball rolling a little bit. Unless we have a very, very specific chabura, there are certainly people on different levels within it. The fact, as my wife was saying this morning, the fact that there are classes and schools that are tracked, does not, all that does is minimize the range. It does not remove the range. There are always people, and there are different ways and different, there are people who are more motivated and less motivated, people with more of a background and less of a background, people who are more intelligent, people who are less intelligent. And any time that we get up and we're speaking in front of a room, to understand the people that we are talking to and how exactly we are supposed to relate to them. To say, I guess, maybe three things just to point it out. If you spoke to people from a couple of years ago, I think they would have said, there's a question, do I teach to the top, do I teach to the middle, or do I teach to the bottom? I believe it is increasingly clear that that is not a choice that we need to make, and that if we know exactly what we're doing, and I'm sure my wife will fill in a lot of the details, if we know what we are doing, that is not a question that we ever have to be asking. Are we teaching to our best guys or to our weakest guys? The question is really, how do we teach both to our best guys and to our weakest guys? We know more about how to do that, and it definitely is the right orientation to have, especially if we're in a chabura type setting. You're giving a shiur to 18 people or 20 people, it can become a bit more challenging, though certainly able to do it there. If we're working with a smaller group already, it does give us a bit more of an opportunity to do so. I happen to think, if I can add just a point of advice, professionally, we are positioning ourselves better. For those of us that are thinking about going into chinuch, or those that just want to be better madrichim or anything, we are definitely positioning ourselves to be in a better place if we're able to handle a wider range of people. Many of the jobs that we would want in Chino, a guy that can only work with a very specific population may have a harder time finding a job like that, and certainly a harder time finding a full-time job like that. If you want to just be able to be successful, I think it's very important to have the skills and the sensitivity that there are different kinds of people, and I have to know how to deal with them in the best way possible. To share, I think to shift to the practical, to share one or two ideas before my wife, I think, takes over and shares probably a bunch of practical etzas. I'm sure many of us have this problem. I have this problem in my 10th grade shiur here this summer. I have a range of guys. I have probably 8 to 10 guys who are very, very motivated. I have some other guys that are less motivated. And figuring out how I'm going to be able to pull that off is definitely something which a struggle that I have. Let me say a couple of... Let me say one or two points shifting about how to do it. One of the ways that a very important etzah for being able to deal with people, here I speak less about motivation, but differences in background and differences in intelligence. It is our achrayus as a starting point to do that which we can to enable all of those to understand that which we're talking about, and often that has a lot more to do with the clarity in which we speak and not sort of being as vague as sometimes we are. The world of the Beis Medrash is a world that often functions in code. Those familiar, a great example of it. In Birchas HaTorah is like a classic sugya, for those familiar. Reb Chaim has a formulation that the Cheftza Shel Torah Tu'una Bracha. It's a very challenging formulation to know exactly what Reb Chaim means by that. And I would just point out that if a brighter guy can sort of parrot and restate that formulation very, very easily. If we do a good job of explaining it well, which the better guy also needs, the weaker guy will also have an easier time understanding it. If we're a little bit vague and we're not investing as much time in making sure that when we present things, it's presented in the most logical and orderly way, it's presented in a way that they're going to be able to follow it. So a brighter guy may be able to take those jumps, and he may be able to connect some of the things that were left somewhat vague. And the weaker guy will have a much harder time. But that's really on us more than it's on the brighter guy shouldn't have to do that. If we're clear in what exactly we're planning on doing, I know today I can give a heads up even. I can give a heads up, but the weaker guy, since I get lost, and it's a long hour chabura, I can get lost a little bit. To break it down into sections, we're going to have three sections of chabura today. We're first going to have an introduction where we're going to learn a gemara and ask a couple questions. We're then going to have a second section with two different approaches, and a third section with conclusion. If you give them in a nice way, you break things down orderly and clear as just a starting point before anything else, before getting too fancy with some of the pedagogical techniques, which we'll, I'm sure my wife will address, definitely it at least gives you a lot in terms of creating something where you're leveling the playing field. Translate terms your first time saying them out. Even if you assume they know it, a lot of the guys, not translate terms. You speak in English. It's okay. It's better for clarity, better for the stronger guys, better for weaker guys. It's something which is very, very helpful. I'll share one other side etza as far as dealing with guys of different levels. One of the things which I know I have found success in, if you're able to give a good sense of chabur pride, if you're able to create things where they're proud of being in your chabura, you spend a lot of one-on-one time with them, and you get to know them very, very well. If you know the guys in your chabura well, and they're happy to be in that chabura, so sometimes, on the one hand, they don't relate to the other as a guy, I'm the strong guy, he's the weak guy. We're all part of a chabura. We're all part of something. And the extent to which everyone feels a certain kind of connection, we don't want two people in our chabura to be defined as he's the serious guy and he's the weaker guy. And then it creates a certain dynamic within the chabura that is very, very hard to play around with. We want a dynamic in our chabura of respect and camaraderie, a dynamic where people really are interacting very smoothly. And that means that the extent to which they have that, you as a chabura are doing certain things. It's a late Thursday night and you're all getting shawarma together, whatever is done nowadays here. And you're doing something like that. It creates a certain sense of camaraderie, a certain amount of respect. I happen to believe, and I say this, the fact that we have people of different levels in our chaburas and the like definitely presents a challenge. I think it is a lechachila challenge to have. I think we benefit and they benefit when there's a range around there. I think we benefit from when we're with people that are weaker than us and people that are stronger than us and people that are different than us. It gives a certain sense of appreciation and it comes together in a way which is very, very meaningful. To do it well requires a kind of chachma. I was just pointing out two almost side things to help contextualize. One, the clarity, the way that we speak, realizing that people who are a bit weaker, at least cognitively, intellectually, need to be able to have, tell them where you're going and say things out clearly. If you can't define what Cheftes Shel Torah to Una Bracha means in English well, you should not be sharing it over in a Chabura context because it's not sufficiently clear. If we can't, phrases like Gavra and Cheftza, if you don't really know how to say that over in English well, I would be very hesitant. I don't think I could teach it that well. The clarity in which I have things will be very helpful for the weaker guys, and I would think also very, very helpful for the stronger guys to actually understand some of the things that they are going to be saying over. And the second is on the social end, if we can bring people together a little bit, form personal one-on-one connections, and help people not be defined within that group as the strong guy and the weak guy. To have that done in a way, I think that's something which can be very, very helpful. I guess I'll turn the floor over, and maybe if there's time at the end, we'll...
Thank you for inviting us to share a few words. It's fun to be back in Kollel. I don't mind that we're visiting and not permanent dwellers here, for those that were here in the past, but it's nice to be back. Okay, so I'm basically going to pick off from where Yehuda left off, really just talking about a slew of strategies and techniques that you can use when you are sitting facing, as you said, a group of guys. There's always a range. You have two guys as a range, Kal v'chomer, five, six, and obviously the more guys, the more range. And on the one hand, you could say, well, because there's fewer guys, it's not that much of a range. It's easier to kind of get by with not necessarily addressing it. On the other hand, you have a certain there's certain leverage you have when you have a smaller group to really actually meet those needs and really be able to hit up that range. So we're just going to go through a whole different a whole bunch of practical techniques for things you can do during your chaburas to kind of meet that range and have everyone feel a part of things and with you and into it. Okay, I put here a list of opportunities, different opportunities you have that you can use in order to meet that range. So the first one is questions. Questions are a great way to bring people in and to connect people. When we stop to think about it, there's really a range of questions at our disposal. They're, you know, ranging from basic spitback questions, you explain something you want to check if people understood, to more sophisticated, thought-provoking analysis type of questions. You can actually be deliberate about which questions you pose to which students. I don't mean putting people on the spot, but in a comfortable environment where you're kind of throwing out different questions to different people, you can really be deliberate about which questions you're throwing out to different guys. As funny as it sounds, I would even suggest, if you want to really make the most of it, planning out some questions in advance, because sometimes when you stop to plan out those questions, we can really think about what would be an awesome, you know, more thinking, deeper question that would be good. What are some basic questions that I can offer to a guy who wants to be a part of things, wants to be in it, but he's really not up for the more complicated, sophisticated analysis? So thinking about different types of questions and thinking about which guy you utilize those questions for. A very safe option, you want to bring someone in, you're really not sure you can handle the intellectual stuff, is opinion questions. Anyone can answer an opinion question. Tapping into that for a guy you want to bring in, you want him to be with you and feeling connected and thinking about things, but just the other types of questions wouldn't work. You can use experience questions, meaning sometimes when you're framing something, you're talking about a scenario in a sugya and you're connecting it to a scenario in real life. Has anyone ever, you know, have you ever experienced XYZ, or can you think about a time? Those types of questions are very, very safe. They're not threatening to even a weaker guy, whether experience ones or opinion ones. And they're ways, you know, questions are great ways of bringing people in. So being deliberate about different types of questions and specifically which guy you're targeting with different questions can just be a really helpful way of bringing them in without in kind of a, you know, sophisticated, one step ahead of the game type of way. Okay. Opportunities offered by chavrusa learning. I know typically chaburas are an hour long. I'm not talking about, you know, transforming the whole thing into one long chavrusa session, but sticking in bouts of chavrusa learning. The whole notion of chavrusa learning is really very smart and also really offers you a lot of opportunities, and I'll tell you why. When you're just teaching frontally, it's just you are one person, and they are, how many guys are in chaburas?
Six, five.
Okay. So you're one person, and they're five or six. You can't cut yourself up. You can't split yourself up. You're doing your thing. And you reach whoever you reach. What happens when they're breaking up into chavrusas is even though you can't cut yourself up in terms of how you present things, you can sit with different groups and meet with them in different ways. I think, like, classically, people think of the Rebbe's role and the teacher's role during chavrusa time as going to just answer the questions that come up. Taking it up a notch is, instead of being reactive, being proactive. Thinking in advance about what you might want to accomplish during chavrusa time. So you may have a couple of stronger guys, a couple of weaker guys. And again, I'm talking about short, I'm not talking about like half hour long stretches, but 10 minutes here, 8 minutes there, even 5 minutes. When you can really play around with it in a whole host of ways. So for example, you can put together a few sources that really would be a little bit hard for some of the guys. But you know in advance, your plan is to sit with some of the weaker guys and go through it with them, meaning you're going to place yourself with them. You're really effectively challenging the stronger guys because they're working through something not so simple, but you're not just throwing the weaker guys under the bus because you're actually going, and your plan is, you're thinking about this in advance, your plan is to go and sit with them and go over with them. You can flip it. You can give something that the weaker guys really could handle on their own, and we'll talk a bit more about that in a minute, and then you can go and use that time to sit with the stronger guys for 5 minutes and give them some cool chakira that the weaker guys, they would just go over their head. It would not only would they not get it, they would just kind of like freeze and withdraw and be like, ooh, this isn't for me. So you can use that time to kind of stimulate and challenge and strengthen the stronger guys while not losing the weaker guys. It's at the expense of no one. So the way that you use your own role and capacity during chavrusa time, it really offers you a lot of opportunities to play around with things. You can match them up, you know, a strong guy and a weak guy, so you make sure that, meaning before we're just talking about having like strong together, weak together, you place yourself strategically depending on what the task is. You can also have match them up a strong and a weak, so you know that each chavrusa is able to get through it. You can also play, even think about the sources you give during chavrusa time, more English translation, less English translation, longer, shorter. Sometimes you can offer them options, meaning you don't want to say to a guy, you're struggling a little bit, take this version. But what you can do is, I have a stronger one, I have, you know, a harder one and a weaker one. If you're up for the challenge, go for this one. If you feel like you just need a bit of support, you know, a bit of hand-holding, go for this one. You can give them that option. And again, in that way, you're able to have different guys, you know, learning at an appropriate level. And research tells us that a lot of being engaged is finding that right balance. If something's too hard, you just disengage and you kind of freeze, you get anxious. And if something's too easy, you just get bored and it's not really so stimulating. So finding that right middle ground where something is just the right level of challenge, it's within your reach, but it's stimulating enough to really pique your interest and get you going, that really creates a lot of motivation. Now, different people have different points of what that right level of challenge is. So this, you know, talking about chavrusa time, either how you use yourself and who you sit with, or a couple of different options of what guys learn. It could be even the same sources, just one has more English built in, one has, you know, Rashi script, not Rashi script, whatever it is, and give them the option for, you know, if they're up for a challenge or not. And, you know, if they choose the easier one, that's fine. They're still learning, they're still in it. But the ones who feel like they do want more of a challenge have that opportunity and can feel very proud of the fact that they chose the harder option. I happen to think that it's always a good idea when guys are learning b'chavrusa to give specific, clear, concrete questions that they should answer. When they're just learning through the sources, they don't necessarily know exactly like where we're going to be going with this, what am I supposed to be like getting out of this. When you give, I would say, even written, clear questions, it helps them kind of figure out where you're headed, and it helps draw their attention to the specific points that you want them to be focusing on and extracting. I know, you know, different cultures can handle different things. I would even suggest if you have guys that won't be put off by you encouraging them to write down an answer. I think people's thoughts are more sophisticated when they're pushed to articulate something in writing as opposed to just thinking about it theoretically. Whenever you're pushed to produce an answer, even in writing, you think about it more clearly and more in more of a lucid way. So I would make a push for that. If that's something you think, you know, guys would be turned off by that, don't. But if you think giving them, you know, I would just encouraging them, I would encourage you to write down an answer. I think that'll help them think through things in a clearer and sharper way. So chavrusa learning really, I think, in a certain way, maybe the most powerful tool that offers you the opportunity to really meet different needs at the same time without not at the expense of anyone. I mean, you're not choosing, I'm just going to go for something really hard and really interesting and stimulating, and if they get it, they get it, and if not, not. You're also not choosing to just water it down and dumb it down at the expense of the ones who really could handle more. You really have the opportunity to tweak whether the sources, the support in the sources, what you do, it gives you a lot of leeway and opportunity. Okay, opportunities and visuals. This is the third point. Different minds work in different ways. Some people process information really well when they hear it. Others really benefit from seeing it. So, for example, this sheep. I happen to need to see things in order to really process it. Typically, shiurim or even chaburas tend to be very, very audio-heavy, auditory-heavy, meaning it's a lot of listening and process information through listening. I know sometimes Yehuda will ask me to, like, you know, like, I'm sending an email to you to make sure, like, I said it in a nice way, and he'll read it out loud to me, and I'll say, until I see it, if you want me to, like, I'm happy to read it over, but you reading it to me out loud, I'm just not going to process it in the same way as if I see it. So in chaburas, there are undoubtedly guys with different ways of processing the information. And thinking about ways to incorporate visual means. Visual means really can be divided up into two different categories. We can talk about there's the like written visual means and there's more graphic visual means. So like let's say having a source sheet in front of them. That is a form of a visual. I would not assume that is the extent of visual opportunities that could be explored. Things like a basic outline. Things like, you probably don't have like blackboards, which is fine, but even little gimmicks. You know, you're talking about something that happens in two different yards and this neighbor and that neighbor, so we tend to just kind of explain it. Build a yard out of Play-Doh. Bring two containers where you're kind of depicting what's going on. Be creative. Even just some, you're talking about two animals that are fighting or a fire, whatever it is. Even, it's not even that you're like acting the whole thing out, but even just some visual anchor that you're using as part of the teaching process, there will be a portion of students who will be with you now that would not have been with you had you not had this extra visual element. It's not a magic trick, and it's not, and there are guys who don't need it at all, but for the portion of people that really do better with visual pieces, you know, even things like titles before the sources when you break it up, or written questions, and all the more so, you know, a chart or some kind of gimmicky action figure. Whatever it is, these things really do help a portion of students stick with you and help them really process the information. Not just, I mean, it's cute and it's entertaining, but it really also helps a portion of people process. So when we're talking about a range of guys in Chabura, the range is not only intellectual, the range may be the way they process information and the way that they think about information and cognitively process it and remember it. Okay. Opportunities and how you manage the time. You may have guys, again, we're kind of like breaking down what that means to have a range. You may have guys in your chabura that are very smart and very motivated. So those aren't the issue is not that they can't get it. The issue is not that they're not interested in being, they're not serious about their learning, but an hour-long slot really just may be too long for them to sit and listen to you teaching. Particularly with a frontal teaching, kind of one person standing, and even throw out a few questions here and there, fundamentally it's still a frontal type of lecture. It really just may be too long for guys to sit. Thinking about, you know, according to research, people's attention spans are roughly 10 to 15 minutes. That means you have a really good window at the beginning, but there's a lot of time there beyond those first 10 or 15 minutes when a portion of people are really going to struggle being with you. Again, not all. Some are great at it, but there are certainly going to be some that they have the desire, they have, you know, their machshav of the Torah, they're cognitively very capable, but the attention span piece is going to make it really hard. You know, you may end up reading that as, oh, he's not that motivated, but when you take it apart, it really may not be a motivational issue, but really an attention span issue. So thinking about how to break up that time so that it's not an hour-long shiur may help guys reset the clock. That may mean 20 minutes in, you do a quick review game. I don't know, Pictionary, charades, Jeopardy, whatever game you you know, something quick to kind of, A, it's worthwhile to review, but it also, it breaks it up. It shuffles the rhythm a little bit, and it may reset their clock so that when you go back into the material and into the actual, you know, content of the chabura, their 10-minute, 15-minute clock is reset, and they now have a renewed attention span to be with you. Ideally, it's great if we can break it up with things directly connected to the material, such as whatever review game. It's okay also to even have the halftime story where you have, you know, they know, come when we're halfway through, there's a 3 to 4 minute interesting story, inspiring story, whatever it is, but it just breaks it up and resets their clock. So thinking about how you manage your time and consciously breaking it up, so if you have even a 40-minute stretch, that is typically too long, half an hour. It's too long for someone to sit straight listening. You know, if you have a 5-minute chavrus time, that breaks it up. Just something other than I am expected to be sitting passively and listening, answering a couple questions here and there. It doesn't really do the trick. Thinking about how to break it up so that they are doing something every so often, or just hearing something totally different, a story, something, you know, amusing, cute, interesting, different, that will help them experience that block of time, not as 1-hour-long block of time, but we have 15 minutes and then 50, you know, meaning not that they have to be aware that you're breaking it up in that way, but essentially you are strategically planning how you're using that time so that the way that you conduct the chabura is actually in line with what, you know, cognitive science tells us about how the mind works, setting it up to maximize your chances for success. Okay. The next point that I wrote about is opportunities that come from distinguishing week from week. What does that mean? We sometimes tend to lump the weak guys together. We've already discussed, you know, weak as a function. Someone can be intellectually not as strong, not as quick. It can be that motivationally they're not just so interested. It could be that their attention span is not that long. I want to add another layer, which is someone who has a weak background in terms of their Limudei Kodesh Hebrew skills. Sometimes because someone has a very weak background, we kind of, in our minds, confuse weak background with weak intellectual skills. You can have people with very weak intellectual skills, but are really intelligent people and capable of very sophisticated thought. And if we dumb it down, because we perceive them as coming from a very weak background, and we dumb down the content to very basic concepts, that's very understimulating. It's very not interesting. So being very thoughtful about, if someone has weak Hebrew skills, let's say, they may be really able and interested in participating in some very high level exchanges about, you know, well, why don't you just explain the terms and explain the concepts, they're with you. So not falling into the trap of kind of selling them short, and people who really are capable of very high level thought, but it's their skills that stand in the way. When I was talking to you this morning, I told about a story at a particular shul where people are not that engaged with, somewhat engaged religiously, but not, they do not have extensive Limudei Kodesh backgrounds, and their rabbi's Gemara shiur was a fairly low-level, basic beginner's Gemara shiur. The assistant rabbi took over the shiur and was doing some pretty intense and you know, lumdish things, and it took off, and it totally, you know, he flew with it, and guys, the congregants were super into it. The reason being that, these were highly intelligent, accomplished people. They want to hear substantive, interesting things. The fact that someone doesn't have a lot of backgrounds in Gemara may mean they need some Gemara skills, but they are interested and thirsty for substantive, analytical, interesting ideas. So don't confuse weak intellectually with weak because of the experiences they had and their exposure to Limudei Kodesh. Because we really can potentially hook them in and really engage them and really stimulate them and interest them with very high-level things, so long as we just tease apart the pieces that are a function of skills and the pieces that are a function of higher-level thinking. The last piece that I wrote here, opportunities in hands-on activities, is kind of evens the playing field where every so often you can just do something quite creative. I remember when we were living here, Yoni Mandelson, I don't know what he was doing, but somehow Rosh Hashanah was connected to it. So he asked me if like I can come and help them do a little like Rosh Hashanah, you know, workshop. So meeting for Chabura that day, we did, you know, I don't remember how the dough came to be. Someone made it. But I'm saying it was like a really hands-on, interactive experience. Obviously, they can't be your Chabura every day. But those types of opportunities are great ways, A, to just kind of build a certain Chabura pride. But B, those are the kinds of things that everyone can connect to. Thinking about how you can recreate a lot, you know, just making, I don't know, whatever topic you're doing, Bishul, something, cooking, what, you can, I don't know your content, so you're going to have to kind of explore. But thinking about once in a while, just some really hands-on creative experience that just brings everyone in. It levels the playing field. It's, you know, not a question of strong or weaker, but we're all kind of learning in this really interesting and hands-on way, which those things can kind of hit the range quite magically. So just to kind of review what the different things we spoke about opportunities and questions, different types of questions, being conscious of asking a range of questions. Most people tend towards spitback questions, but thinking about how you can incorporate higher order thinking questions, how you can incorporate opinion questions, and being conscious about who you're addressing, which questions. So you have this guy who has not really been so motivated, not been so with you, but you throw out an opinion question. I've worked with student teachers in classes where the guys are not motivated at all, and then you throw out an opinion question, and they are with you, and they're eating it up. So sometimes getting there, you know, people love sharing their opinions, so thinking about which questions you use with which guys. Opportunities offered by Chavrusa learning, and how you can play around with what, you know, which group you proactively plan on sitting with, not just being reactive by answering questions, but having really a plan of who you want to sit with and what kind of sources you want to give out, offering different options for sources, different lengths, different content, different amounts of support built in, you know, English. One note I want to say about Chavrusa learning, sometimes we think that, like, it can only work with the motivated guys, because the non-motivated ones, they're just going to be distracted and not really focused. And I've also found that sometimes bite-sized, concrete, doable source, you know, a short doable source with a clear question, sometimes it breaks it up for them, and even not guys who aren't as motivated, they have a specific thing to do, they have guidance, it's clear for them, and sometimes they can dafka, you know, the ones who dafka have trouble sitting and focusing when it's like you talking the whole time can really benefit very much from these short bouts of chavrusa time. So not assuming that only works, is only suitable for the ones who are already very focused. Sometimes dafka the ones who are less focused need a bit more of that. So we spoke about different opportunities in chavrusa time. You can't cut yourself into five pieces when you're presenting friendly, but you can distribute yourself and make your way around when guys are working the chavrusa. We spoke about visuals, how different people process information differently, and thinking about just the more visuals you can bring in, the better. I don't mean overwhelming people with that, but don't look to do it twice over the summer. Trust, as often as you can, bring in some sort of visual, a diagram, a chart, gimmick, a something that you can help those who process things visually have that as an anchor while you're going through the chabura. We spoke about opportunities and how you manage the time. Different guys just come with different attention spans with the best of intentions. They may just not be able to be with you for that amount of time. So thinking about how you can break it up, the halftime story, the 20-minute in review game, whatever it is, thinking about how it cannot be one long block of you teaching, but really breaking it up into chunks, whether that means doing different things during those chunks or even just inserting certain, you know, activities, sticks, whatever, along the way. Opportunities come from distinguishing week from week, not confusing week intellectually with week background and skills, and really giving the guys who can do more and can think more deeply stimulating opportunities for that. And then last thing, opportunities and hands-on activities, thinking about just creative ways to level the playing field. It's fun, it's interesting, it's a great way to learn. Guys get into it, builds good camaraderie and pride, and it just kind of makes everyone on the same on the same team, as opposed to the experience of, you know, he's stronger, he's weaker on this, on that. It just kind of unifies and joins everyone together and levels the playing field in that way. Thanks, everyone. Good luck this summer. Doing the good work that you do.
If everybody could just help clean up their garbage bags.